My guest at this time is Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. He is also the author of numerous books, including The Deliberate Corruption of Climate Science. We have asked him to join us today as President Trump makes official what had been speculated about for the past 48 hours, and that is that the United States is formally withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accords. The president saying the economic impact of complying with the non-binding agreement was just too much to take on from the previous administration. He says he is willing to renegotiate either the existing agreement or try to forge a new one if it benefits the United States. And Dr. Ball, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Greg.
What do you make of President Trump doing essentially what he said he would do on the campaign trail, although there had been quite a bit of speculation about whether certain members of his family, certain members of his administration had convinced him to do otherwise?
Yes, yeah, certainly, particularly with Ivanka. But of course, the problem is you don't know how real that was. There's so much fake news out there about things going on within the White House that turn out not to be true. But when he made the speech in Harrisburg recently, where he said he was going to go through with it, I think that was pretty well the public commitment. But good news about it is that he didn't have to rely on the false science. He relied strictly on the economics of it, that it's a very, very bad deal for the United States. And in fact, it's deliberately designed to punish the United States. In fact, the original idea of the whole Kyoto Protocol, which was brought down by the exposure of the corrupted science, was replaced by the Green Climate Fund and the Paris Agreement. But it was no different. It was a great socialist transfer of wealth. It was designed to cripple the U.S. industrial economy by identifying CO2 as a false problem. It went through. The interesting thing about it, Greg, is that, of course, Obama couldn't make it a treaty, because if he made it a treaty, he'd have to have Senate approval. And in the previous Kyoto Protocol, when it was presented to the Senate, they wouldn't even vote directly on it. They didn't want to appear non-green. So what they did was they set up the Byrd-Hagel resolution to vote on whether they should vote on it or not, which is typical of politicians. And they voted 95-0 to vote against voting on Kyoto. And the whole argument was made, it will hurt our economy, it will hurt jobs. It is very, very bad for the U.S. And so Obama knew that. He knew he couldn't put it before the Senate. And so, of course, he called it an agreement. And then he had the problem that many countries didn't want to sign on to it either. And so Kerry negotiated a deal where it would be non-binding. So it really became a sham, an absolute sham from beginning to end. And by calling it out and just shutting it down, because it would have hurt the American economy far more than others. For example, India demanding huge amounts of payments, but the right to continue to open coal-burning plants, while the U.S. had to shut theirs down. I mean, it was just so inequitable that it could not be maintained. And I'm glad that Trump had the fortitude to stick it out, despite all of the attempts to waylay him.
Dr. Ball, let's talk about what comes next here in a couple of different ways. First of all, the fact that the United States is no longer a signatory to this agreement, what does it mean for the rest of the deal, even though it is non-binding, and the other nations that are, at the moment at least, part of this?
Well, of course, what you'll see is that the countries that had to put money into the Green Climate Fund, and by the way, most of them were not doing it. They were supposed to put in $100 billion a year collectively. They haven't even come close to that. They'll just simply not bother putting money in. So the Green Climate Fund, and by the way, it's held in a bank in South Korea, if that doesn't scare you, and they will not put their money in. The countries that were scheduled to get payments out of the Green Climate Fund, including China, by the way, and China just a couple of months ago said, hey, where's our money? We want our money out of the Green Climate Fund. So you'll hear those kinds of screams. But what I hope will happen is that this will now allow a focus more on the science that is purportedly behind the claims that CO2 is a problem. And, of course, as you and I have discussed, this was a deliberate setup to identify CO2, to demonize CO2. People say, oh, the greenhouse gases. I mean, even Trump does it. And when only talking about carbon dioxide, which is only 4% of the total greenhouse gases. So hopefully now what we'll see is a much, much greater exposure of the false science that was involved in this.
Dr. Ball, I'm sure you're not surprised by the reaction really over the past couple of days, but even since the president's announcement as well. We knew this was coming in some form or fashion, and so those in favor of the Paris Accords have not been shy about what they think the impact of this is. Some have said this is the moment the U.S. stops being the leader of the free world. Others have called it a death warrant for the planet. Others have called it an act of treason to the world and so forth. I know that strong rhetoric on this issue is nothing new, but what do you make of how proponents of the Accords have reacted to what we've been expecting here the last couple of days?
Well, of course, this is underlying the whole method and process that they set up. They use the environment and they use the climate as a vehicle for a political agenda. And so, of course, all they can do is when you say, no, I'm not going along with the political agenda, is that all they can do is invoke the sky is falling. And all you have to do is look at the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, have made forecasts about the global temperature since 1990, and they have been wrong on every single forecast. So their record already fails to support what they're arguing. But there's no choice. By the way, one of the most egregious ones was the Pope. And the Pope got co-opted by Schellenhuber at the Potsdam Institute in East Germany. And you can imagine where they're coming from. He was the key author for the Pope of the Pope's encyclical against global warming and climate change and so on. And, of course, the Pope, who's a Jesuit, took the name of Francis because he wanted to be, like St. Francis of Assisi with the creatures and the world and the planet. And it's just a pure, unadulterated politics by the Pope. And, of course, fortunately, the Pope or Trump didn't succumb to that when he met with the Pope. But this is the level at which these people have been operating, using anybody and everybody to push this shut down America, shut down industrialization, equalize the wealth, the whole socialist agenda behind it all.
Dr. Ball, just a minute or so left in our conversation here, and President Trump, as I mentioned at the outset of our conversation, said he's willing to renegotiate the Paris Accords. He's willing to negotiate completely separate agreements on this subject to get world leaders and the global community together. What, in your estimation, would be a good deal?
Well, the good deal would be to start with the actual real science, not the science that was created by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. I mean, just to show you how this was manipulated, they were given a definition of climate change that said you only look at human causes of climate change. Well, you can't possibly identify human causes if you don't look at the sun and the oceans and all these other things, but they don't do that. It's like looking at the car and saying, well, we'll ignore the engine and the transmission and the rear wheels, and we'll just look at one nut on the right rear wheel of CO2. So that's the first thing he's got to do, is say, no, this has got to be science-based, and it's got to be real science, proven science. Their science has failed, and we know that, because their forecasts have failed. If your forecasts are wrong, your science is wrong. End of story. So that's the first thing he's got to do. And then from that, you can come to at least an attempt to a reasonable climate change policy. But the reality is that the levels of energy involved and the amount of energy that humans put in are so minuscule that it is actually laughable to think that we can control the climate in any way.
Dr. Ball, we'll leave it there. Thank you, sir, as always, for your insights.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for the opportunity, as always.
Dr. Tim Ball is a professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. He's also the author of several books, including The Deliberate Corruption of Climate Science. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.